Today on Real Radio.
Argue with me where something should be separated from that marriage. Oh, well, we don't share finances. Why not? We don't share sex with each other. Why not? We don't share that. Why not? You share all these other things. What you're doing is you're acting out something that God never designed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage, which takes a break from the norm and discusses the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. In regards to relationships, today's culture wants to throw marriage out because, well, we've watched so many of them fall apart. But it's important to believe in what God calls marriage, and if you're married, make every effort to stay that way. It takes consistent effort, but it is possible through daily renewal in God's Holy Spirit. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and me, David J., we sit down to talk about protecting your marriage. Now, there is a real attack on marriage today, so how do we protect our marriage from the enticements of the internet and all forms of social media? It takes real devotion and commitment to stay pure and open in communication while staying away from the dangers of secrecy. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Let's jump right in, Pastor Jack, with 1 Peter 5:8.
1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour."
Would you say that the roaring lion is looking for married people?
Absolutely.
Especially?
Especially. If he can destroy a marriage, he's destroyed a generation. He's destroys a witness. He's destroying what God has designed. It affects more than just the two people.
You guys see a lot of married people, obviously, in everyday life, but you are kind of in a position where married people come to you saying, "We have this problem. What do we do?" Well, I mean, I know that happens. So what is the main thing these days? Obviously, it changes over generations, but what's the big thing these days that people say, "We're having this problem. It's blank"?
Well, the top one is still communication, could be finances, sexual, time management, time spent together. There's blended families now. There's just an attack on marriage, period, across the board. I don't know if the issues have changed per se, but the attack is there nonetheless. And the enemy is looking for those weak points in relationships that he can go and get a stronghold on.
Now, weak points. I have a friend of mine that's a psychologist, and he says, and he does a lot of marriage counseling, he says, the biggest weak point these days is the internet.
Absolutely.
Oh, huge.
Do you guys find huge. This as being a big problem?
It's destroying huge. People's lives.
In what way?
In and out of the church. In what way? Well, listen, we just went through a situation where a woman reconnected with a high school friend on the internet. It actually led to an affair, destroyed their marriage, separated the children. Mm-hmm. Horrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible. That's just one story. Plus the fact that there are people living a invisible life. There are people who have, for their marriage satisfaction, they think, marriage satisfaction, that their sex is coming from the internet, or their communication is coming from the internet. There's these chat room or gatherings on the social network, right? And listen, as a married couple, I believe my phone, for example, my computers, I have no secret codes. In fact, not only does Lisa know my code, I do have codes, but that's to keep some stranger out of
sure.
my equipment, right?
That's reasonable.
My kids know my passwords. Lisa knows my password. I can't imagine a Christian man, let alone any kind of a man, for example, having passwords hidden from their wife regarding their bank account, regarding their computer. I don't understand that. That is absolutely wrong.
But I
and
talk to women.
Have trust that
I
way.
Talk to women all the time who that's true. I spoke with a lady whose husband actually unfriended her on his Facebook.
You're
because
kidding.
She was looking at him flirting with other women, old friends of his,
yeah.
and he didn't like that. So now she's not allowed to even look at his Facebook. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I hear that are bizarre. I can't imagine exactly what he was saying. It's living a double life, really.
It's a lie.
So how do you protect against that sort of thing? I mean, see, I got a funny feeling right now that there are folks watching this program that are saying, I'm feeling a little bit guilty right now. I think I'll change the channel. Don't change the channel. Stick with us. This is very important. How do we protect our marriages from that stuff?
This may be too basic or maybe too direct, but are you married? Are you under the same roof? Do you eat the same eggs, drink the same milk? Are you in the same bed? Then why should argue with me where something should be separated from that marriage? Oh, well, we don't share finances. Why not? Mm-hmm. We don't share sex with each other. Why not? We don't share that. Why not? You share all these other things. What you're doing is you're acting out something that God never designed. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, you're living out a lie. Because again, if you're not fully committed to this marriage in all areas, then you have a secret life going on, and it's only going to grow, because the longer you continue in that course, you're going to have darker, deeper secrets to hide. And the end is destruction. And it's destroying families today. It's destroying marriages today. And I tell you what, Christians need to absolutely divorce themselves from that kind of a world.
Can we talk about maybe the practical issues of that? I mean, let's talk about, in the time we have left, let's talk about the spiritual protection. Let's talk about the practical protection.
Yeah.
In the specifically the technology areas. What are some boundaries in the area of technology that we should be setting up?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Passwords, anything like that should be fair game. I mean, open.
Give them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what
not
he was just saying.
Not to the neighbors, but to your
loved ones. That's right. Yeah, I mean, come on. There shouldn't be, if there is a double life going on, or there are these secrets, or you feel like you can't speak openly with your friends because someone's going to be reading your email or your text or whatever, then there's something wrong. Because anybody should be able to look at those emails or texts. That's crazy. So you can't protect that until you're willing to give that up.
So that's a good practical step. What's a spiritual step that we can take in that vein?
I believe what takes place in your home as husband and wife, that is the secret thing. Between you and her, that should be kept private. That should be kept sacred. That should be honored. That becomes the thing that you protect. You protect your home. You start there. I believe, and I know this probably sounds corny, but it's just the way that I am. I believe my Bible applies to every aspect of my life. I also argue from Scripture that physical relationships between a husband and a wife is a spiritual event. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Mm-hmm. I believe I can argue that from the Bible. And so when the home is being protected, that means the husband and the wife are devoted to each other and they're committed to each other. And from that sense of security and protection, it emanates out from the bedroom. It goes out to all, it goes to the kitchen, it goes to the living room, it goes beyond. It builds a place of security. I don't think you can separate the spiritual from the practical. I believe it's all in one.
I have an interesting question for you. Can a person have a best friend of the opposite sex, and that's the person they hang out with? And I've met a couple that thinks that's possible. I don't get it, but is it possible?
I say no way, but...
No, I think it's ridiculous. Of course, it's possible. People do it, but I don't think it's right.
It's not smart.
And it's not smart. It's not keeping a boundary of protection, because anything can happen. And if I'm sharing with another man and he's my best friend, if he's my best friend, then I may be sharing things with him that only my husband should be hearing me share. Okay, even if it's a fun thing, it might be something of my heart. But a best friend is someone you share with, you talk with.
You give things away.
Exactly, you give things. So if him and I are not one flesh and I'm giving that to another man, there's a good chance that if things aren't going well here, then something might develop here. And so that's not being wise, and it's certainly not being putting that protective boundary around your marriage.
I'll add this. I think it's an absolute disaster. And I think I can argue this biblically. She should know all the secrets of my life.
Right.
Not somebody else. Number one, what if I do share my secrets with somebody else, or my most cherished moment, or my whatever it is, to my best friend? Number one, how long are they going to be my best friend? How long is that going to last?
Yeah.
What commitment do they have to me to be my best friend forever? They don't.
They don't.
They're going to walk away with a whole lot of information on you. That's stuff that your wife should know, or that your husband, right, should know. The other thing is this. A lot of people today walking around, I believe, wasting their time. I mean that. If I could be stronger, I would say so. Well, you need to be accountable to somebody, and this person's my best friend. Is your marriage so messed up? Have you so failed in your marital relationship that your wife or your husband's not your best friend? You can't be accountable to them? Don't talk to me about being spiritually superior to other people when you don't have this happening with your husband and your wife. Mm-hmm. You can't lead me or anybody else anywhere unless it's happening in your own home. So this thing about best friends, we should work on our spouse being our best friend.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a friend that he kind of leans toward, he leans toward running into areas, or I should say, slowly stepping into areas, to be more accurate, on the internet, relationships outside of his marriage. He knows that he's prone that way. But in his office, he put up a sign, just simple, just like that, that says danger.
Good.
Now, what does danger mean? Somebody walks into your office and sees the danger up on the wall. To him, that meant keep your eyes open.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's a great reminder.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What kind of reminders can we put on our marriages to build hedges around them? Just like this, this is a pretty practical, stupid little thing, but it works.
It works.
Yeah. Well, taking the time to obviously spend time together, what we talked about in our first session about communication, about sharing, about enjoying life together, laughing together.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we forget to do that. We get so busy with just business and keeping the home and discipline if you still have children in the home and just the day-to-day things that we forget how laughter, the Bible says, is like medicine. And when you laugh with your spouse, go have a good time, go watch something funny, or just go enjoy a sunset, you know, just taking the time to relax a little, forget about that. We don't realize how much of a boundary that is in protecting, because in protecting, you are also building. Behind that wall of protection is a building that's going on, and there's a strengthening between the relationship. I mean, you don't have a close friend that you don't ever spend time with.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
You know,
so with a friendship, you're going to spend time with them. The same thing with the Lord. The more time we spend alone with him, the deeper and stronger our relationship is with him. But if we talk to him once a month, I mean, once a week, whatever, it's not going to be strong.
Yeah.
You'll have a relationship, but the same thing with a marriage. You'll have a marriage. It's not going to be strong. It's not going to be good. It's going to be mediocre and open to the enemy.
And also, you know, we think that the enemy who is going about seeking whom he may devour is some evil power outside our door.
Yeah.
And today with technology, the enemy is in your home. He's online. He has got a conduit onto a screen in your house that he can pump anything in there if you'll let him. And so personally, I just don't know, or I should say, I've met very few people who have the ability to manage the power of what's available on the internet to have in their home. To counter it, I would suggest, as we said earlier, have absolute ways to have everybody exposed to one another's account or however, because you start getting into dark areas. Your friend's gray area leads to a dark area.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be so careful. I just don't know if we're mature to handle the power of what's available now at our fingertips.
Now at home, okay. My passwords are out to everybody, and there's no secrets. And keeping secrets is, boy, it's a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. Why you'd waste your time doing it, I don't know. But
takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. You travel out of town a bunch.
Yeah.
I travel a bunch. Give me some practical ideas on how to stay pure.
I'll give you, and I do travel a great deal. And sometimes it's with someone and sometimes it's not.
Mm.
When it's not, this is very important. If I'm going to be going, for example, from here to Canada, I know where I'm going to be landing and there's going to be people there to pick me up. I know this.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I make sure happens is the pastor's the one picking me up or the assistant pastor's picking me up. What I will not do is get into the car of the pastor's secretary came to pick me up or the secretary's sister or the pastor's mom. You know what I'm saying? No way. You say, well, yeah, but you know, it's the pastor's wife. She picked you. No way.
Have you actually had circumstances where you said, I'm sorry, I can't get in the car with you?
Not in that kind of a setting, okay. But I've had them here, for example, where it was time for me to meet with somebody here on staff, pressure, time. Maybe we can make this a quick lunch thing, grab something to eat. And that meeting is with this particular staff member, female. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
I will not go from here to Burger King with a female staff member.
It's smart.
Unless we're all in the car together, all yeah. of us. There's well, just, you can't do that.
Billy Graham doesn't go anywhere without another human being.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
it's right. male or female, right. or it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Right. So that's an example of some ways to set up protection. But listen, where there's a will to be protected, God will abundantly supply the help.
Is there room in the Christian marriage for pornography?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Pornography, porneia, from the scripture, is sexual immorality. There's no place for it. It is idolatry. It is sexual immorality, which the Bible warns that those who practice that, it's a lifestyle. This is how they live their life. Galatians 5 tells us, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? It creates a destructive pattern for life. And what we cannot do, we cannot think, well, I'm just gonna click over here and then I'll be done with it when I'm done with it. It's embossed in your mind forever, and it's a tool handed to Satan.
Yeah.
And he'll bring it up, he'll call it up. And then what happens? Somebody will look at their husband or their wife and disdain them because they don't look like the person on the other end of the camera or the film. And they'll begin to loathe them. What is that? What's happening? You are reaping from what you've sown. There is no justification at all of pornography in a marriage.
And, you know, can I just add to that?
Sure.
That I, because we live in this technological world, if you have a problem with the internet and you can't not control yourself and you end up on those sites, why, pray tell, are you going to the computer?
Yeah.
If it's not, I'm exactly, I am such the old-fashioned girl.
Yeah.
I'm not on the computer. I'm not like, I don't do the Facebook and all that. It doesn't make me better than anybody else. I'm not saying that. It's just, to me, it's almost a waste of time for me. I love face-to-face.
Yeah.
If I'm going to talk with someone, I'm not going to email for 3 days, you know, back and forth, or even texting. It just gets old. It's like, let's go meet for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I think there's this temptation where I hear women and men, honestly, they're neglecting their families. I mean, they're neglecting their spouse. Their children are suffering because mom and dad are playing games, or they're emailing, or they're Facebook. It's like, what happened to come home and have dinner together and talk at a table or enjoy a game together, making sure your kids are doing their homework? How do these people have so much time?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And there's a national average, and I don't know who put this out. It was Family Research Council or Dr. Dobson. And when I first heard it, I thought, that is absolutely wrong.
What's that?
That on the average, the American parent, father, the father, spends 30 seconds a day face-to-face with each child. And when I heard that, I thought, that's insane. But you know what? If you actually figure out, did you spend 3, 4, 5 minutes? Did you spend an hour, half hour talking to your child face-to-face? Did you do that? And when you begin to analyze that, it's a very scary reality. And now we've got just things pulling us away from the nucleus of home mm-hmm. and of life. Mm-hmm.
So I was in a restaurant not very long ago, and there was a girl who was, it was, to me, it was obvious that it was a dad spending his nightly, you know, his one night a week with his daughter. And it was so sad to watch the daughter looking up from her dinner, and he was just texting the whole time. And I thought, you have minutes to spend with this child who adores you, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're not doing
it. Not for long.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not for long. He'll lose her.
Good advice.
Because,
Now, in the same way that you can sit there and text, you can sit there and be looking up pornography and whatever.
Yeah.
How do you steer people? How do we, as Christians, steer people ourselves away from such things?
Well, I think with any sin, you have to hate it. You have to get to a point where you hate it. And you realize you cannot walk in the fear of God and be holding on to your sin.
Yeah.
So you've got to begin to hate your own sin and realize you are, it's not just your spouse or something that you're hurting, it's God Almighty. And I'm going to stand before him someday and every secret thing I've ever thought, spoke, whatever is going to be open. It's going to be revealed. And so that right there should bring me to a place of where I don't want to, I'm not, it's not, I don't want to do this anymore. Lots of people say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to. In Job 31:1, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Yeah. Why then should I look upon a young woman?
Yeah.
He's made a covenant with his eyes. That's an amazing statement for a man to make,
yeah,
that I will not look on a young woman. There's a beautiful woman, she just walked by, happens all day long, everywhere you go, from a magazine to the grocery store to, yeah, wherever, but he looks away. Yeah, it's one thing to look and say, wow, she's very pretty. It's another thing to then start letting your mind go.
And where's it going?
Exactly.
So, Jack, Lisa, Davey, that's ridiculous. Oh, okay, wait a minute, let's do it your way. Where does it go?
Yeah.
So you glance, then you gaze. What do you do? Mm-hmm. Where does it go? Where does it lead you? Don't tell me at the end of your, whatever your mental gymnastics are, that it ends in a good way.
You know what's funny is when I'm spending time with my lovely wife, and a beautiful woman walks by, whatever, I'm conscious of, I don't want to hurt my wife's feelings,
yeah,
by looking at so-and-so who happens to be walking by. And I gotta admit that when I do consciously look away and walk away from the situation, I feel victorious.
Power.
Yeah. I feel good.
Yeah.
Power.
Yeah.
I feel like I just did something, yeah, great for my marriage.
Yeah, it's obedience.
Well, you did.
Yeah,
you did. Because you just gave her that confidence that she has eyes. You know, women, we can see when another woman is beautiful.
Yeah.
We're not dumb,
yeah,
you know. And if your husband is looking at that woman, it's hurtful.
Yeah,
it's
but
hurtful
that's just
to
a practical
woman
thing, yeah, to do is look away.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do when the Victoria's Secret ad comes on? What do you do?
Time to go get a glass of milk.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, turn the channel or go get some milk.
And you're victorious.
Yeah.
You win.
And God,
yeah,
blesses obedience.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
What do you say to the guy who is at home and he's so concerned that there's going to be a message pop up on his text or whatever that he can't leave the cell phone alone for 2 seconds. He can't,
yeah,
he can't get away,
yeah,
from the...
Yeah.
He walks into the bathroom with his,
yeah,
cell phone. What,
yeah,
do you say to that guy?
Yeah, I actually kind of experienced that on Sundays and Wednesdays in
what
church. You'll see people... from my vantage point of speaking and teaching from a pulpit setting, I'll see people go like this with their phone. They're looking at me and then they'll go like this and they're like this. And it sends a message that what you are talking about, who you are, is not important.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, one time many years ago in the church that I spiritually grew up in, somebody was doing something like that. And the pastor that was speaking stopped the service and said, sir, you're very distracting. Either you need to take a pill or catch a plane. So I don't know which one it is.
He's looking at
the guy
phone.
Just kept looking and looking. Well, it sends a message, you're not important to me.
Our topic basically today was to build hedges around those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Practical way of actually building the hedge. Is it a prayer? Is it a thought? What is it?
It's everything, seriously. It's everything that God has given us in His Word. In fact, it's His Word. It's the Word of God. And answering Davey's question, it's everything, the counsel, the full counsel of God's Word. So much of what we're suffering in our marriages is because we're not reading God's manual to life, the Bible. It of course, it's prayer, but it's more than prayer. It's getting up from prayer and doing the right thing. To do the right thing, you have to know what the right thing is. It's reading the Bible. Put down the magazines. Put down the iPad. Start reading your Bible. Find out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Protecting Your Marriage. Thanks for listening to the program today. It's our hope that in all things, you stay vigilant and faithful in your walk with the Lord. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. If you've been enjoying this Real Marriage series, we want to let you know that we've made the DVD set available for you for your gift in support of Real Radio. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on Real Marriage, Real Life. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in Eternal Impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.